Did we move on from ubiquitous yet? I like being a totally spiritual misfit. Yeah. I don't have a question. I don't have an answer. We don't have a theme. It's absurd. I was telling a story about Prasanna, right?
Hmm.
Lovely guy. Beautiful paintings. I mean, really mind-blowing work. And they're the simplest, most subtle. And they're large canvases, like eight feet by 8 feet. And he put them up on his fireplace and in his living room, which is otherwise empty of all furniture except some, you know, lamps to shine on the paintings. He got some really great instruction from Prasanna. I wish I could remember what it was. I was there too, but it was kind of Nirsagadatta-esque. I think he speaks in Marathi, and he said that after he dispatched with us, wasting and taking up his time, someone was coming over with a first draft of a book of Nirsagadatta quotes. Can you imagine Nirsagadatta quotes that he was able to translate? And I thought, oh, what the world needs now is Nirsagadatta quotes, Nirsagadatta quotes. That's the only thing that there's just too little of. But I didn't have the nerve to sing it. Oh, goody, more Nirsagadatta quotes. That I think will actually turn the tide on global warming.
Which way, though?
Yeah, I don't know. Once I heard that more Nirsagadatta quotes were coming into the Akashic record, I felt safe again.
I want my Akashic record read.
Yeah, you would like your Akashic record read, probably by Nirsagadatta.
Some expert.
Yeah. But it was a lovely visit. I mean, the gentleman was refined and kind and he had lovely things to say and teachings to share with us all about the nature of the self. I think that's what it was about. That's all I have. What did you do yesterday?
Witness, I gave out a quote.
Holy shit. Is that serendipitous or what?
No, I just felt like saying that.
I know. Nobody in their right mind would read Nirsagadatta quotes. That ship done sailed.
What more do you want to know after the title of the book, right?
Yeah, that's pretty much it. I am fat. Oh, that's my book. I'm sorry. There I am mixing metaphors again. God damn it. He was that, and I am fat.
Stop labeling things, for heaven's sake.
Yeah, right.
Just cut it out.
I always get it wrong.
Hey, is this fuse, I hate to take us out of the Nisargadatta quotes, but is the fuse meaning different? Like, is it a whole new different? I just can't even get on the computer. I'm talking on the phone now. I can't get pictures or anything on the computer, and it sends me on this.
Well, they update the application for, you know, the Windows environment and the Mac environment. But I can't explain why they're taking you on a wild goose chase if, you know, you should be able to successfully install the new app and then just join the meeting.
Yeah, I know. It says you can, but it takes me the circuitous route to put my name in again, and then it downloads again, then I try to start the camera again, then it sends me on to install again, and it just keeps going around. I've done it like 10 times.
Wow. I think they have a support.
Okay. Well, I'll hit the help button later. Yeah. I'll hang out on the phone for now.
Yeah, the phone's good.
Yeah.
So we were just loitering here trying to figure out if anyone had a theme or a belief or...
I got one.
A good story. Yeah, oh, good. What do you got?
Well, it's a whole new thing. My wife's boyfriend runs a dream workshop, and I went, oh, one of those kind of shit things. And I went to it and blew my socks off. And
I'm sorry, your wife's boyfriend.
Not.
I just want to.
You've got it all wrong. You've got it all wrong. No. Anyway, it's a dream workshop, and
okay.
It's very egalitarian. It's like this guy kind of runs it, and he knows a lot about it, but it's not like he's running it. And it's like everyone goes around, talks about the dream, they draw the dream out, and it feels hokey. But then people start saying, "Well, if it were my dream, it would mean blah blah blah," and so, but it's your dream. And halfway through it, like everybody like consistently goes, holy shit, I didn't even know this is what, I mean, it, the guidance and the reflection and, I mean, it's scary. I mean, the unconscious is genius, I mean, and huge. And I've been blown away by this. Anyway, I've gone through this for a few weeks now, like 3 weeks, and I'm a true believer.
Well, a believer in what exactly?
Well, that everything's communicating.
Oh.
That sounds
like a Nir Sagadatta quote to me.
He's welcome to borrow it.
I understand. No, you're thrilled by the profound archetypal serendipity of all permutation.
Yeah, and it goes into waking life to where it's like everything, not everything, but occasionally like the whole thing feels symbolic, or like the whole thing is talking in,
right,
in code or something. It's really quite astonishing to me.
So the encounter from the dream workshop is happily leaking into your ordinary day.
Yes, and the other thing that's really cool about it, because I've been looking at I've been looking at the model you run with these fuse meetings, and also I look at it's egalitarian, and my wife and I are doing our own. We're running our little dream workshop in the mornings, and it just consistently works. Like none of us are you know, pros or experts at symbology or anything like that, and it's amazing. So anyway, I'm interested in how accessible. Before, the unconscious has always been gibberish.
Yes,
and just right. Something. Oh, that was weird. And now it's like, it's still weird, but even weirder. But it's kind of profound. So anyway, yeah, that's my new thing.
Well, that's fantastic. That sounds very novel.
It is. I think Peter's also has said before that that consciousness, the tyranny of consciousness, is pretty much a subset of the unconscious, and how all states of consciousness are available, you know, deep sleep, dream, the whole thing is present all the time. And it's a nice thing to hear. I just didn't know what he meant. And I'm getting an inkling of what he's talking about now.
Oh, I see. Yeah, that sounds great.
Yeah. So anyway, that's all I have to say.
I love it. You know, it reminds me of, some of that family therapy that they do, you know, it's kind of Jungian archetypal family therapy when they grab people from the gathering, from the meeting, and put them in the room in certain positions representing certain aspects of your, you know, nuclear extended and ancestral family. And then people start kind of spontaneously channeling. You know, because they're just in the geometry of that collective unconscious, and they start coming up with poignant reflections and insights, which pretty much blows everyone away.
Yeah, I've heard of that. I haven't done any of the play acting stuff, or the gestalt stuff.
Yeah,
but I hear it's effective. I don't know.
Yeah, I like it. What a nice way to illustrate and demonstrate how, you know, provocatively creative our, call it, dreaming consciousnesses, and how amplified that can become, right, in the company of many.
Yeah, it's really, I mean, It's not. I'm not sure if it's possible to do it on one's own because it's the unconscious. It's, you know, it's speaking in symbols or in metaphor, and it's unconscious because it's unconscious. So it's really helpful to have other people start just saying stuff, because then all of a sudden you start making connections. And,
yeah, that's right. I mean, it's such a self-fulfilling serendipity that the moment people start saying stuff and kind of creating a chain reality, right?
Yeah.
Then it gets interesting.
Yeah.
And
they ask us some questions after, and I'll get off this horse, but they'll say, okay, well, after they kick it around, they go, well, do you see why you're having this dream? And then they go, right now, why are you having this dream? And then is there any way you can, and the best one is like, is there some way to honor it or act on it? Like, you know, would you buy something, or can you write a note to the dream character, or does it give you guidance for your daily life? You could find, you know, something concrete, and that actually starts wedding that connection with the unconscious. It's like you're letting your unconscious know, I'm listening to you now, and that's pretty cool.
Well, then do you find yourself having a whetted appetite for utility? Or, you know, life improvement or novelty or access to information coming from this collective unconscious into your, call it, you know, worldly day?
Yes. It's something to do with it's more than guidance and reflection. And sometimes it has its own agenda apart from my waking plans, which is really weird, too. I mean, it's showing a different agenda. So, I mean, I have no conclusions on this.
Right.
And I'm actually a little, not embarrassed by it, but I'm, you know, really entering into the content of it.
Yeah.
As opposed to the field of it is one thing happening. But the novelty of it is the content is pretty astounding.
Well, sure. It's like the first time you get your hands on a Ouija board at 12 years old.
Yeah.
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 Well, come on. Let's face it. You know, whatever this is or isn't is beguiling, right? Is unapologetically and unashamedly beguiling.
Yeah.
Right? Yeah. And you know, we all know that from, you know, everyone knows that, you could say, from firsthand experience, though they may not articulate it that way. And we're happy, let's face it, we are happy to encounter archetypal infusion, novelty, you know, the curious interface between conscious and subconscious, and whether that has, let's say a beneficial insight or advantage for what we call our waking life.
Yeah.
We love this shit.
And it's non-linear genius, too.
Yes. I think that's perhaps, at least for someone like you and me, the most seductive.
Yes.
Right?
Yeah.
Yeah. That it has that signature of non-linear genius. And so you really can't get enough of it.
That's very true.
Yeah. Well, as sweet and beguiling as it is, and, you know, it just is, you could take kind of a buzzkill Advaita approach to it all. Because that's all Advaita really is. It's just a major fucking buzzkill. That says, hey, no matter what's showing up in the colostrum of experience is just, you know, anecdotal myth, archetypal myth, as you point out, the genius of irrational sensitivity, right? The myth is also that, the expressive genius of irrational subtlety and irrational sensitivity.
Yep.
And there's no question that it looks and feels and smells great. It's magic.
It's like on par with Nisargadatta quotes.
Yeah, absolutely. If they hit you the right way, yeah, it's magic.
Yeah.
So then the question might be for a Debbie Downer buzzkill inquirer, right? I'll play the role of the Debbie Downer buzzkill inquirer. And see that what's really thrilling about it is that it anoints and illuminates self, right? And I don't mean self in terms of selfishness or samsara or suffering, you know, lowercase self. Right. This kind of magic anoints, stimulates, and illuminates uppercase self. That's why it's right so provocatively thrilling.
Yeah. Yep. And the continuum that is there, I didn't. That's another thing I've heard. The continuum between sleeping and waking. It's a nice thought, but I didn't know it. I wanted to experience that, and I'm getting a sense of that.
Yeah.
And it's
sure.
And it doesn't solidify a feeling of identity. Actually, it makes it kind of. It's screwing that up.
Yes, let's hope so. Right. That would be going in the preferred direction if there were one.
Yeah.
Right. That the slippery slope or the subtle imaginarium between the waking state, the dreaming state, or the deep sleep state, as we became what more conscious or cognizant of the sameness of it all, that it would be you know what we're after, a nice kind of spiritual Teflon.
Yeah. Anyway,
yeah,
that's it. Thanks for listening. I'm you know, there's no conclusions here. I'm in process,
no.
But I'm really happy about it, or really excited by the things that opened from all of this.
Well, from time to time, tell us more, because it sounds like a lot of fun.
Yeah. Alrighty.
Good.
Peter's coming out there.
Apparently Peter will be coming to the East Coast in October.
Yeah, nice.
Yep, that seemed to work out super duper fine. And I had a email exchange with our dear friend Jillian, inviting her to host or lead a satsang if she felt like it over here in the East Bay.
Do I know Jillian?
You might know Jillian. She was on at least one, maybe more than one, of Peter's residential retreats.
Huh. Well, anyway, cool.
Yeah. So that'll be fun to see if she feels like, you know, taking the hot seat and being a provocateur of awakening teachings, whatever those might be.
Yeah,
a lot of fun.
Is she from the Bay Area?
Yeah, she lives with her fiancé, Jeremy, in San Francisco.
Oh, yeah, 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 okay.
And,
I know Jillian, yeah.
Yeah, you must know her.
Yeah, yeah.
Yeah.
Young girl, young woman.
She's a young woman, yes.
Yeah. Oh, cool.
And she stubbed her toe and woke up or something like that, and she's feeling like she might try her hand at you could say fielding questions or an inquiry or something, and you know,
wow.
It's like guru for a day. What the fuck? Why not? Yeah.
Things are too gradual for me to stub my toe. I won't.
Right.
Anyway.
Yeah.
All So I'm looking at who's out. Let's see. Steve is on the phone. Is Francine? John is there?
Yeah, John is.
Yo.
Oh, there he is. He's there by voice. I don't see him on the video.
I muted my computer because it's loud.
Oh. So that was fun. Any other themes or interesting takes on life that might be worth kicking around? Jamie, is your microphone on?
It is. Can you hear me?
Oh, there you are. Yeah. Okay. Can hear you.
I don't see anybody else. I presume that this is a local problem or something.
Probably. There's four of us on screen at present, including you.
Yeah. I'm going to say at the moment.
Is everybody else black, Jamie?
Yeah.
But it says their name. I had to log out and log back in for some reason, and it fixed that problem.
Yeah. I may try that, but by then it will probably be dinner time.
Yes.
So in the meantime, I'm just looking at myself. This is what I was going to do was this. Little post-it note over the thing.
Uh-huh.
I'm kind of tired of looking at myself. But
yeah. Just imagine how we feel.
Yeah, I know. I don't have to look at myself all the time. I'm not used to it.
I know. It's weird. It's true. Looking at yourself, it's like, wait a second. I look like that? Why does anyone take me seriously at all?
Like staring at yourself the whole time. Like,
really? You mean to tell me this is how I present to the world? Oh my god. That's fucked up.
It is.
That's why I'm enjoying being on the phone right now, because I look fucking brilliant. I can't see myself.
Yeah. Yeah, no, you look pretty bright.
I'm gonna come back in a minute here. I'm gonna try it.
All right.
Good
Why
luck.
Not? Give it a whirl.
I wonder what Nisargadatta would have done if he had to see himself.
Oh, my God. I think he would have slit his throat.
He would have put his teeth back in.
Really? He would have put his teeth back in and then screwed his head back onto his neck. I think we should just give up the pretense and call this the We Make Fun of Dead Gurus Club. No one on this call is getting realized, so we may as well just drop that charade and go with the I Like Making Fun of Dead Gurus Club.
Our motto is no one is exempt.
If you're dead, we're going to make fun of you. If you're alive, we're going to make fun of you still.
It's infinite humiliation.
That's right. Are you a guru? You're an asshole.
You're a person, you're an asshole. Let's make fun of you.
Yeah, really. Let's start by saying your teachings suck.
What were you thinking?
What the hell were you thinking? I bet there's not a single devotee that learned a goddamn thing from you, dead or alive. The I Hate Dead Gurus Club.
We're speaking about a new book. If you meet the Buddha on the road, humiliate him.
Yeah, really. It's like Don Rickles meets Ramakrishna. Well, this is what enlightenment posers do. Since we know that reality is never going to happen to us, we just cut up. It's the best we can do, so fuck you. Go ahead. Give us the teaching. We'll just shred it.
Your teachings don't work, jerk.
Hey, you want to hear a joke? I went to see Wayne Lickerman the other day. That's it. It sucked. I went on a 7-day retreat with Adyashanti. Guess what? It sucked. I didn't learn a damn thing. My life sucks. My attitude sucks. My appearance sucks. My bank account keeps draining and nobody likes me. What? I'm not doing this anymore.
That's it, man. That's it.
That must be it.
Wow.
Yeah, someone told me they read a Jean Klein book the other day. I said, so what? Hey, who was Pamela Wilson's guru? What the fuck do I care? He was an asshole, too. Jeff Foster's got a new book. I hope somebody buys it. Hey, I hear Isaac Shapiro's coming to town. Big deal.
Finish this line. A guru walks into a bar.
Really? He gets kicked in the head by a horse. I don't know. Is it possible to get enlightened this way, or are we getting in the wrong direction? Who cares?
It's the bad karma club.
Yeah, really. Our karma is so bad, it's not even worth trying.
Any purification you did before this phone call is completely moot.
That's right.
We're all back in the toilet.
Can I wipe my bad credit with my bad karma?
I tried to purify. It didn't work.
My karma's worse than yours.
Yeah, that's right.
Oof. Meditation is for posers.
That's right. Meditation is for posers.
Very that's still right. Posers.
Yeah. Vipassana this. Hey, I went to a dream workshop the other day, but in my dream. I was only dreaming. I saw a subliminal Tibetan master the other day, but only for a second.
He gave me guidance that was really bad.
Yeah, he gave me bad guidance.
I'm not going to follow any of it.
Yeah, really?
Who invited him anyway?
I have no idea. They slip in and slip out.
They're trying to make some more money.
Yeah, their robes are made of silk. They slip in and slip out. Oh, God. Please, somebody give me something to follow. If I don't follow something soon, I'm going to blow my own head off. Please, give me a teaching I can agree with. Anything. Oh. See, see what happens. If this really isn't about anything, we don't know what to do with ourselves. But, Master, isn't this about something? Nope. No, not a fucking thing. This is not about anything. You're an idiot.
You're wasting your time. Go home.
Yeah, really. What? What more do you want from us?
I don't know what to do with myself teaching.
Everyone,
yeah.
No.
Really? Ah, so you don't know what to do with yourself. Okay. That's good.
It is the title of my new book.
Well, you're not alone. Come on, this has got to be about something, like Earth or people or suffering. Come on. Someone's got to believe in something. We have to do something about something. Otherwise, I don't know what to do with myself. Maybe that's why the Buddha started out with life is suffering, because he had to start somewhere. If the first noble truth was this is not about anything, where the hell was he going to go from there?
I don't know. This is not about anything. You're an idiot. It's pretty good. I think that's a good title.
Yeah. This is not about anything, and guess what? You're an idiot. Whoa! That's the most provocative teaching I've ever heard.
It's better than I'm fat.
Well, that's a sequel. You got to start somewhere. Book number one, I am fat. Book number two, this is not about anything, and you're a fucking idiot.
If you actually read the I Am Fat book, I'm sorry.
Yeah, you'd know by now that there was no point in buying it.
That's yeah. Neil Donald Walsh's next book.
Right.
Conversations with God. I am fat.
I am fat. Really.
Conversations with a fat God.
Yeah.
God says, this isn't about anything. You're an idiot.
Yeah. The opening sentence is, gee, God, looks like you put on weight.
That's a heavy thing to say.
I know. You can go down for a comment like that.
It could be a dieting book.
I know. Shit. What do we do? I'm trying to remember all of those opening salvos I've heard from teachers over the course of decades, and I can't remember a single one.
That's pretty pathetic.
I know. It's like, you know, I went to see Jeannie Zandi, you know, and I thought there'd be something there. There wasn't. There was nothing there. You know, it's a club. It's kind of like join a club. Join a club, and we'll take care of your suffering in some bizarre way, and it won't work, and it won't last anyway.
Where do I sign up?
I know. Hey, I want in.
If you want mild to moderate relief, take an aspirin.
There you go. Take two Thich Nhat Hanh and call me in the morning. Yeah, alcohol is good.
That'll do.
Yeah. I don't understand why all those people are trying to recover from alcoholism. It sounds like they hit the big time.
Yeah.
You know, why would you want to reverse the good fortune of getting into the big tent? I don't care. Ruin your life, ruin your family, ruin your job, ruin your reputation, run somebody over. How could it get any better than that?
Wasn't there a Buddhist guru, Chogyam Trungpa?
Oh, yeah. He died of alcoholism.
He was an alcoholic.
He died of it.
No, we don't want to say he was an alcoholic. We like to refer to it as crazy wisdom.
Oh, yeah, like the shamans.
Yeah, yeah. No, he was a. Hey, come on now, don't. Don't try to make his life about banal failure and death through alcoholism. We want to make his life about something miraculous and true, like crazy wisdom.
Yeah. Yeah, he really transformed that alcohol.
He really did. I mean, he was like any of us. I mean, he was a big mouth, you know, narcissistic savant that, you know, fooled everybody. And just because the culture at the time was so naive and they were so tired of listening to Ram Dass by then that they figured they'd start listening to him. Yeah. You know, he had a navy in the middle of Vermont.
He had a what?
A navy. He started
he had
a
an
navy.
Army.
He started a navy in a landlocked state.
Everybody needs a navy.
Everyone has to have a navy. If you want to get enlightened in this world, in the Kali Yuga, you have to join the navy. Where do you think you're going?
I don't get seasick. Wait a minute.
Hey, his entire group just drank like fish. It was pretty fun. They were just messed up the whole. I think they finally came to terms with that. I think they all have a bunch of 12-step groups now or something.
Yeah. But I think they finally might have come to terms with the fact that he wasn't as enlightened and brilliant as they might have thought he was. He was just out of his mind and charismatic. Well, I mean, what was everyone trying to get from him anyway? It was definitely a very naive period, right? A very early naive period in the spiritual unfolding of the gullible West.
Yep.
And we've seen a lot of Tibetans since him, right, pursue similar strategies. Like our friends up in Ratnaling.
Yeah, well, he's of the same generation.
Yeah, right.
He's just still alive.
He just
the younger ones. I don't know how their things are. The younger ones, if they're a little bit less godheads than Kunpa's generation. Yeah,
I don't know.
I don't know. I haven't been following him.
Very confusing stuff.
Yeah.
So maybe you should start a navy in Doylestown.
I think I will. Yeah, I will get some, like, we'll all dress up like ice cream men and women.
You dress up like the village people.
Dress up like the village people.
Worship Mount Hagar.
Yeah, that's
Skipper
right.
Skipper Jeff.
Skipper, yeah. Skipper.
Admiral.
Admiral's even better, I know.
Yeah. Admirable.
The admirable admiral. Too nice. Well, okay. Anything serious? Nah, fuck it.
There must be something. Let's see here.
It's nice to think that you've got something to say about the nature of awakening, and you're like, I'm fresh out. Where do you go from there? It's like, well, this isn't about anything, and I'm fresh out. I don't know. Have you stopped seeking? I guess so.
For now.
Yeah, I stopped thinking about it, I can tell you that much.
You know, I have to confess, I started going into a mode where I felt like I needed some kind of experience. I got completely duped.
That's right.
For a few days in there.
Okay. Just do 10 Hail Marys on your rosary and you
Yeah, right. That's right. Well, isn't that funny? Really, at the root of it is this notion that one needs to have an experience or one different or better or after this one.
Yeah.
Right? Something more novel, something more revealing, something deeper, something more fun, right? Less serious. So we're like besieged by a million qualifiers that none of which are true about the frivolity of this present moment that just disappears, and then we convince ourselves that we must have an experience.
Yeah.
Okay.
A resolving experience.
Yes, yeah.
The great stubbing toe in the sky.
Yeah, a resolving experience, a novel experience, you know, a new discovery on the path to awakening. Something subtle about, you know, something a great master, you know, referred to that I haven't yet had my own firsthand experience of.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, it's great. I mean, like we said, the beguiling nature of experiencing is so profoundly, unspeakably strange and slippery that it is capable of convincing 7-point-something billion primates, if anyone has counted them, that something's actually happening. If you know, it's like if you shift the formula, you shift the Genesis formula from a universe that begat primates on Earth, which became the microbial, viral, and bacteriological carriers of consciousness. If you shift that loyalty to something that's just unutterably weird, as in whatever consciousness is or isn't, or whatever awareness is or isn't, well, that's the supremacy, and the entire universe is appearing in it. Right? So you're not, the irrefutable fact of your own experiencing is not the consequence of your having been born, or being in possession of a body, but it's awareness or consciousness as the primacy, which has no particular identity, in which all apparitional phenomena appear and disappear. And every day we get 24/7, what's that little phrase when it's all day, all right?
24/7.
24/7, right? 24 hours a day, 7 days a week, right?
Right.
So 24/7, we get all the evidence we need to see apparitionally the nature of experience appear and disappear. That the content of experience floods in and floods out as a simultaneity, leaving absolutely no residue of itself, because every moment is peculiarly fresh and never occurred before, nor will it ever occur again. But somehow this manages to convince itself that of the myth of durability, right? The myth of durability of a self as a body, as a mind, as a persona. And that,
what do we do with that? Is the durability of self a problem?
You tell me. I mean, it's only a problem if it's a problem for you, right? I mean, it's not fair for anyone to accuse someone else of having or being a problem because of the let's call it the notion of durability of self.
Well, I mean, I guess suffering is a problem.
Okay.
That's
candid, right? That's candid and simple. Yeah, suffering can be a real bear. And we're talking about, right, you know, psychological suffering, right?
Yeah.
Yeah, psychological suffering can be a real bear. And if we look into the nature and consequence and genesis of psychological suffering, if we're lucky, if we're true to it, you know, if we're invited to see it deeply, then we can say, wow, holy shit, this psychological suffering is myth.
And it's identification with adorable, what we feel is adorable entity.
Yeah, and those are all the same. The we, the identification, the durable, and the entity all happen to be exactly the same, you know, curious notion. Yeah. Yeah, because there's no we without durable, and there's no durable without, you know, this. So they're all, they're really all the same thing. I mean, this, if this present moment exists and conveys anything, then whatever it's conveying are all the same thing, right? It's not chronological, nor is it a tautology. Because there's only this primacy. And everything that appears in it as, you know, disquietude or liberating or triumphant liberation is appearing in it. And I would imagine that playing around with ways of looking at the nature of consciousness and experience from that vantage point might turn out to be demonstrative, in that they shut down the identification with myth.
It seems like such a catch-22, because, you know, all day long myself, I'm doing things, I'm working on things, and I'm doing things that I find to be tedious. You know, and so finding a way to
the things in and of themselves are not tedious. What's tedious is how you, as an imaginative being, frame the profundity of your present experience.
Yeah,
they're not tedious. You're tedious.
Yeah, I guess let's take an extreme example. Somebody that's in China working on an assembly line for 12 hours or something.
Yeah,
like that.
Right.
Now, one would probably say that that would seem to be a tedious job, a tedious task, if they did the same thing over and over and over.
Yeah.
Go home, come back. And, how is that? How do you take the frame away from that?
Well, I don't know. I mean, if you end up on such an assembly line and you have any fucking sense, you jump out the window.
Yeah.
You know, you take your own life out of as an act of compassion.
They put nets out everywhere.
we would rather talk on our iPhones, so we hope most of those Chinese people that are assembling them don't jump out the window.
Yeah.
Because I won't be able to get Facebook on my iPhone if they do that. Yeah, I don't know. I mean, we are of, you know, in this country, if we're not living in dire poverty like some people on the call, we're very privileged. So we can actually sit in a leather chair with our feet up, using the internet, you know, being warmed or cooled by a fan or whatever, and have a indulgent conversation into the nature of consciousness and suffering and unraveling the myth of tedium. How tedious. Yeah, if you or any of us, no, there's no point singling anybody out, but if we experience boredom during the day, tedium during the day, wishing we were elsewhere, we were somebody else, right? If we had enough money to leave the job behind and go to Greece or Crete or Pittsburgh.
Well, they ruined that one. Go ahead, keep going.
Really. Yeah, you know, who knows how it falls? I mean, you know, the nature of tedium, of liberation, of suffering, of not suffering, of seeking, of bodhicitta, of telling stories, of devotion, right? Running out of the ashram naked in the snow. I don't know what's going on. No, how could any of us have any idea what's going on? But you could say that if tedium is experienced during the day, that it's not the things that are tedious. It's the framing of your firsthand experience, which is tedious.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. And so, and that could be an interesting thing to explore. Why is my day appear to be punctuated by or filled with, if we could call it that, more tedium than I would hope to suffer? And the tedium is not the day. It's not the things. It's not the tasks. The tedium is the way my experience is landing in me. It's my own consciousness, the quality of my own consciousness, which turns out to be the culprit of tedium.
Yeah, technically there is no tedium. I mean, the things are non-repeating, and if you're doing the same thing over and over.
Yeah.
Technically.
That's right. Technically. Yeah, I mean, if Nirsagadatta were here and we could quote him, he might say something like that. Yeah. But while you're alive, whatever that means, if you haven't jumped out your window yet, then, you know, you go to work. And you cope with the many insults that are, you know, heaped in your direction. Whether it's from the repetition of the handling of inanimate objects or having to pretend to be interested in what some other human being has to say.
So it's not novelty that pulls us out of this cauldron of suffering.
Novelty is a temporary fix. You know, why does someone go back up on the mountain, you know, to jump down in a squirrel suit, right? Or go to Music Fest, or smoke a J, or go to a movie, or go to maybe a new restaurant that I haven't visited, or back to one that I like, right? We all use novelty, serotonin uptake, and exercising of behavioral preferences and choices to medicate, ameliorate, or move away from, you know, the fundamental tedium of our own consciousness. Why would someone want to go get enlightened? It's the same reason, you know, because the tedium of my own consciousness has become, you know, on yellow alert, unbearable. When it's green alert, you know, you don't pay that much attention to it. When it's yellow alert, you know, maybe you pick up the phone and look for a retreat. If it's on red alert, well, then you're going to fly all the way to go see Sailor Bob and say, fucking help me.
Does he have a Navy?
Yeah, I hope so. Because if he doesn't, he should, and I want to join it.
If he doesn't, he's a liar. He's not a sailor for heaven's
sake. Right. That's right. If you don't actually have a Navy, you're just a poser. Sailor Bob. I hate you, Sailor Bob.
Take that. Sailor
Bob. Take that, Sailor Bob. Yeah, it's too strange.
Well, I guess a good koan would be that to say that everything, and there's nothing but novelty, and how come it doesn't feel that way?
Why not? I mean, that's a great, great, you know, ingress. It's a great doorway. Sure.
Yeah.
If we give it the slightest attention, doesn't it make sense? Oh my God! There's nothing but novelty, because this moment never happened before, and the one that I thought happened a moment ago never happened before, and it sure as hell isn't going to happen again. And the one that's happening right now is so bizarre, I don't even know what to say or think about it.
Yeah.
I mean, basically, I should pass out from novelty.
Yeah.
Right. But I don't. Instead, I complain.
Okay.
How did I?
And the overlay, like, every time, it's fucking novel. It's very novel. You're like, this is creative. I'm a creative lunatic.
How did I ever figure out that I should complain about a reality that is just pure knock-your-socks-off novelty?
Yeah. What's the other one that Peter has? Everything is revelation. So that's a really good one to chew on.
That's right. Yeah, it's nonstop, stupendous, and stupefying revelation.
Yep.
So how was I bored today? Was I mad today? Did someone insult me today? You know, did I have to set up just yet another strategy for revenge? Do I have to get someone else back now? God, I thought I was done with that, but no.
Or better yet, the universe lays out everything in front of you, and you're like, I feel bad. This is just too good. I don't think I can. I'm not sure. This is.
Yeah, why not? That's right. Yeah.
Apologizing all day. You're like, what am I doing?
Yeah. You can look up in the sky, and you can do one of two things. You can flip God the bird, or you can apologize.
Or humiliate gurus.
Yeah, well, I like to humiliate gurus because I'm a coward. I'm a coward, and I don't have anything to say, so all I can do is make fun of gurus and, you know, try to slip away from the call while nobody's looking.
Yeah, I've been called a coward.
God.
I've been called a coward before.
Oh yeah, no, it's solid, solid coward. Yeah, I gave up. I handed in my seeker card, and I just got one that says coward. They won't even let me seek anymore.
But there's novelty in cowardice.
Oh, there's total novelty in cowardice. There's novelty in all failure.
I would like not to be a coward.
Uh-oh.
That's a problem, isn't it?
Yeah, well, that's like the guy that has hair on the back of his hands and then starts looking for it.
You'll have a novelty.
That reminds me of you know, the joke where I went to go buy some camouflage pants. I couldn't find any.
It turns out the self must be camouflaged too.
Okay, I gotta go. Dinner time, late dinner.
Yeah. Sure. Any excuse just to get off the call.
It's a coward. That was a cowardly act.
We're with you, cowards all. Coward bunga, as they say. I got rid of him. What's the matter? The fire's too hot in this kitchen? It's probably some guru he believes in. He thought we were going to get to him next.
An atheist.
I better get out of here before they make fun of Kali Ma.
I bow before the Kali flower.
Really? Jeez, more turmeric. We're crazed. Anyway, this was a lot of fun. I hope all of you enjoyed it as much as I did.
I don't know how much did you enjoy it.
I don't know. I can't say. On a scale of 1 to 10, it was pretty good.
That's not a number. My cold hard numbers.
Excuse me, I need to place a demand upon this. Hey, nobody's listening to me. Hey. I want to place a demand upon this.
How would you like that cook?
Really, there is nobody in the information kiosk. Hey, this is not about anything, and B, the information booth is empty.
Please press 1 if you would like to speak with somebody.
You'll be pressing that for a long time. Hey, pal, when are you going to get off the phone? Please press 1 if you would like to speak to an information representative.
How may I help you today?
Really? In the meantime, you can go to our website, www.thisisnotaboutanythingandyou'reabigfatidiot.com.
Or the alternate website, www.icanthearyou. I'm not listening. .com.
www.camouflage.net.
www. Who cares what you want?
www. You were not consulted. .us.
You're not consulted and you're mad about it.
Oh, God. Oh, my God. I must see a therapist.
My therapist is a failure, too.
I can't stop laughing. Don't you have anything for this? Isn't there some medicine I can take for the fact that I can't stop laughing? I might lose my job. That fucking guy comes into the office every day and cracks up. We're going to have to let him go.
And he's had an erection for longer than 4 hours.
I wish I only had one personality. You've got multiple personalities. I could have told you that. He could have told you that. Anyway, thanks for joining me on another call of Inquiry into Awakening, where no one got shit from shit. I can feel this ministry growing. I really can. What do you guys do at your church? We just fuck off, man.
Well, at least we admit it.
That's right. We're all cowards and we just fuck off. Oh, God. Well, we're gonna go to San Rafael this evening and participate in the Peter Brown conversation.
Oh, yeah. Is that gonna be broadcast? You know?
Yeah, I think I might bring my laptop just in case because he's been having some technical difficulties.
Okay.
Yeah, and we'll do our best to broadcast it.
So what hour 7? Is that?
Say again.
What hour is that?
Shit. What time is it? It's almost 6. He starts at 7:30.
7:30. Okay.
7:30 West Coast. So it's not till 10:30. Actually, it's not a great time. I mean, it's 10:30 to midnight.
Like Jesus.
You know, I mean, you have to be a seeker to stay up that late.
Yeah, I have so much to do.
Yeah. Hey man, I gotta smoke a doobie and get some sleep. If I keep laughing like this, I'm gonna have a medical problem.
Yeah. All this laughing.
All right, not to be all rude, right. I'm just gonna close this meeting down. I love you all, and we'll see you again soon.
All right,
bye.
Bye.
Take care.